Hey, loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Welcome to the good life. Good morning, boys and girls, men, women, radio world, podcast world. If you're joining us after the live broadcast. Good morning, Benny.
Howdy doodly.
Howdy doodly.
Yeah. Is that okay? Does that work?
How is the Pacific Northwest? How are the boys? Summer is in full effect.
Oh yeah, most definitely. We're enjoying it. It's the perfect week, you know, where you have like the highs of 75, lows of 75. It's a little warmer this week, but it's perfect. No, there's not a drop in the sky. My boys are north up with their mom for the next couple of days, spending time with their aunt. And she lives up near, I think, Kamano Island, one of the islands, either Whidbey or Kamano. So anyways, they got a little time away from dad. So I miss him, obviously, but they're enjoying it. So
dad time is really good, too.
Of course.
Just like I had mom time. Come on.
Yep. Got to share the love. Got to share the love.
Share the love, baby. Share the love. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And all of you, you guys know my Benny. He's our superstar and our wonderful producer. He makes all the magic happen. Wherever I am in the world, he is my Superman. What is that? Is that a dab?
I don't know what the kids are doing these days.
I don't either.
It's more like this. Isn't that? That's the dab. But that's so like 2 years ago. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Right there. See?
Yeah.
Hey. Actually, I do know a current one. It's Slay.
Slay?
The word slay, yep. Like constantly at the house now. My girlfriend's daughter says it like every third word. I just called her out, but if she's listening, she does says it all the time. Yeah, I know. Okay. You're laughing. Your microphone didn't get picked up, but it's like she'll go to the just refrigerator and open it up and like see some like juice she's always wanted and goes, "Oh my god, juice, slay," and then walks off.
Like, no,
yeah,
that is awesome.
It's like a TikTok thing. You know, the kids in the TikTok thing. Yeah, something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
We had our own terminology when we were growing up, though.
Oh, my
right?
gosh. Yeah. I know. I'm going to stay under my rock for a bit. Not naive. Just, I don't need, yeah. Anyways, we got a great show today. We're going to jump on. Benny, we love you. Everybody loves
you. I got
you. Thank you so much for making all the magic happen, sweetheart. Before we get started with our guest today, we actually have a British native. She's a shaman. We're going to do the awareness bit, remind all of you this show and my promise to you is to bring you new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas. And it's an inside job. We have the power, we have the ability, and when I say we have the power, it is all of us taking our power back after trauma, bouncing back after situations in our life that have created a bit of a hiccup or a hurdle, as my mom would like to say. But it is an inside job. You have to first and foremost have the awareness that you are in a trauma state, or you are happy, or you are not happy in said situations, or you're in fear, or your body's in fight or flight. So awareness has got to be your number one. So with that being said, it is an inside job, daily awareness practices. Today, we're talking about resilience. I asked Source, I said, what are we going to talk about today? What is it that's really bubbling up for everybody? Excuse me. And it's awareness. So awareness is the capacity to withstand and or to recover quickly from difficulties, whatever that difficulty is in your life. Now, you guys have heard me talk about when I just use difficulties as an adjective to describe, I believe, truly believe that the adjective to describe in this context is difficulties. However, I believe it's just a contrast. It's just an opportunity for us to learn and to say, oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. So going forward with this, resilience is really important with your life, and to have a practice put in place before the shiitake hits the fan. So what are you doing as a whole mind, body, health to provide that practice for you? What is your awareness practice so you can have that spring back, that resilience? You know, there was other words, adapting quickly to spring back. There's vision, there's collaboration, there's tenacity, there's health, there's composure and reasoning. Those are six domains of resilience. If you want to go Google that, please do. It'll provide some more information and give you that whole health awareness and context and outlook of that process that you can put into place. Now, of course, we talk about breath work. We talk about meditation. Breath work's free. Meditation's free. When you notice, again, when you have that awareness that you are not breathing and you need to have that breath really deep into your body and have that awareness that you are breathing so you can bring your body back into homeostasis, so you can have control of your thoughts, so you can have a conscious, aware, empathetic, sympathetic, compassionate conversation with respect, not only for yourself, but the other person, instead of being reactionary. So again, it's another tool for you to have that awareness. It is an inside job. It's resilience today. All right, guys, we are going to jump on in. We have got an amazing guest, Ellen Satier, best-selling author of British Native Shamanism. Ellen is a quirky wilderness woman who is deeply connected to nature. Sounds like my wheelhouse right here. She comes from a long family lineage of cunning folk and was brought up as an spiritual keeper. You got to tell me how to pronounce that, Ellen. In old magical traditions of Britain, a qualified transpersonal psychotherapist, Ellen helps clients become their true selves, rewild their hearts, and find what makes their hearts sing. I'm so excited to have this conversation. Ellen has also taught her work through an apprenticeship and 3-year advanced course for over 30 years. Welcome.
Hello, Sue. Hello, everybody. It's very good to be here. And I think you wanted me to tell you how to pronounce Arweneth.
Yes, Arweneth. Yeah, see, I would not have, Benny would have made fun of me and said, yeah, there you go, butchering the name again, Sue.
It's an old Welsh word, so you do have connections, I know.
Yes.
But it's one of the, Welsh seems to sort of, they use a vowel occasionally in their words.
Occasionally. Okay, so love, let's have this conversation. So of course I do the formal introduction and all of that, but I also, with my guests and my audience know this, we want to hear you, your voice, your energy, your why, where this all started to come from. Of course, there's quite a bit of generations that you've followed. Pardon me, my dog is hitting the table. God, it's right. Live TV, right? That you, it's a long lineage, but yeah. I want to get to know you, how this all started for you.
Well, it sort of started by me getting born, really. My family, may sound a bit weird to people here as well as there, but there are people who followed the old ways, as there are native people in all lands, and we're effectively native people. We started to get crushed and squashed about 2,000 odd years ago, so we learned to keep our heads down, as native people do everywhere. But we're still here, and people still practice. And I've got friends who still practice, and they're teaching their children here. So it's still going on.
Yes, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the wisdom from my elders. I love it. Well, Ellen, and just a quick backstory, and I really do cherish that from the elders. I was adopted, so I didn't have my elders. I had quite a lot of things spiritually that were happening to me, and I didn't have my elder to go, what in the world's going on? I hear dead people, or my intuition, you know, there's all these things that were popping up and happening, right? So honored to you and those that are holding tight to family lineage. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. That's what the word Arwenis means. We're spirit keepers. It's the Tungus word shaman, which everybody knows, that means one who knows, and it means a spirit keeper. So it's just our word for that. They're everywhere, as you know.
Love it. It gives me all warm and fuzzy when I talk about it. So thank you very much. So talk to me about your journey and what this looks like for you and the people that you teach, educate, all the juicy stuff. We want to know about you.
Yeah. Work with, yeah. Because it comes in all sorts of fashions.
Yes.
I started obviously at home as a kid. Then I went off to university and did my first degree. And then I decided not to go into that at all. And so I joined our Ministry of Defense and ended up being a software designer.
What?
I know. It's like, what? What are you doing there?
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. And it was great. And I met amazing people. And I don't know whether you've met service people in your country, but over here, many of them, they have such weird experiences. Like, imagine just being out in the desert in Afghan. And they have a lot of empathy for the people who are there. And yeah, you're trying to help them, you're trying to protect them, and you have to fight people. But so much happens and it changes them. And I found so many of them actually wanted to follow a spiritual path and actually started following one. So, you know, where again, you would not expect it. But they're sort of ordinary people. See them down the supermarket. And yet they're right in it.
Right in it. Define that for the audience.
They believe in, as you were saying earlier, the connections that we have to each other, to nature, to the world, to the universe, really. And that's where it all starts in the tradition that I teach. I'm now taking it out and teaching it to business people. And they are starting to get, well, I didn't realize that would work. And I do feel better already. And I feel clearer. I mean, clearer is one I've had, just had two clients yesterday. And they were both saying, I've been doing this exercise you were telling me, and it's like everything was here and now it's gone here.
Oh.
And can you imagine how good that feels for business people who are just sort of up to here in everything all the time? So the connection is ever so simple. It's Mother Earth and Sky Father, the sun, without which we can't live. We've got to have Mother Earth to live on and in, and she can't happen unless Father Sun sends the energy down and grows the plants and grows the animals and grows us and gives us light and day and night and warmth and cold and everything else. So it all starts from connecting to the two big life givers who've been here for 4 billion years. Sorry. So that's where it starts for us.
Yeah.
And then everything grows from there.
Everything. Yeah. The analogy, and you know, I've heard the analogy of using the analogy of the garden. I mean, of course you need Mother Earth and Father to create all that, but you also have the weeds you got to pull. And like I was talking earlier, at the top of the hour for the awareness practice, you do have to have the awareness, and there's got to be something. I mean, granted, you can be in denial. Yes, you can be in avoidance. You can have all of that based on your fear and other things that are going on. What can we educate and teach the audience in a practice that you have fostered that would help keep them in that awareness? And that awareness of it's just a contrast. It's a way of learning. It's not, don't shame yourself. Don't go into fear and guilt and all that stuff, because that's not what it's about. Can we unpack that a bit?
You okay?
Did I freeze?
No, you didn't. No.
Oh, okay.
No, the one awareness, and this is another thing that, you know, the business people are now finding after the sort of other people that I used to teach, is that when they make this a daily connection, a daily meditation to connect to the earth and connect to the sun, and you feel you end up with like this thread that goes through you, and it's pulling the energy up from Mother Earth and it's pulling the energy down from Father Sun, and you're there with this happening inside you. So you get in a state, you know, somebody nicks your purse in the supermarket or something, you know, any ordinary thing, and it's like everything's on top of you. Yeah. But if you have this practice, you can just a couple of minutes and you know what to do. You know the next action to do. This is the resilience, and you are not only doing it yourself, you are connecting with life around us and using both of them to help you. And it takes a, you know, it takes a little bit for people to get the hang of it, perhaps, especially if they're sort of like, I'm not sure about this, it sounds a bit weird. And
but it's breathing and connecting, it's grounding, yes, yourself, it, right? So it, look at the contrast to the professionals, to all of us. Do you want to be in a stressed state? Do you want to create a disease in your body? Do you want to react in a reactionary space? And, you know, for our business people out there, how important is it that for your bottom line?
It's, you gotta, isn't it? It's, you
right?
To be there.
You have to. Yes, you have to be.
Yeah. And if you've got something that you know because you practiced it with somebody who knows it and who's helped you, and you can come back to that and you just go, give me a moment. And we're at least, we've got to that stage. Now you can say, I need a moment. And you can do that in a, even in a business meeting, and people will give it to you. I mean, 10 years, 20 years ago, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, at least we've moved that far on.
Yeah.
And have your moment and you say, right, guys, how about this? It might not be the answer, but it will take you to the next place.
And look at the example, if we're talking corporate America, well, even if it's a mom, a dad, whatever, look at the example that you're providing in the tool. If you're mom and dad, you're providing a tool for your kids to be able to self-regulate in school. Yeah. And look at the domino effect, right? You're changing generations.
I've seen it with school children, not recently because I haven't worked that way, but I've seen it. And it's sort of like, hey, Jane, how is it you don't sort of get all fussed up when something happens? You know, when the teacher shouts at you, you can sort of like, you don't have to come back, and, you know, you can just sort of be there. And doesn't it hurt you doing that? And Jane, who's been taught properly by her mum, who already does it when they're getting a pickle at home, so it goes, well, no, I just sort of like settle in and it all just goes whoosh.
Oh, it just goes whoosh or wash.
Both.
Yeah, both. What have been some profound changes that you've witnessed in your clients, personal or professional, that you've witnessed, so we can give our audience an example of what this all looks like?
Well, one that I totally love her, and I still know her, and she, I was working with her 20 odd years ago, and she actually lives in Tacoma, which is not that very far from Benny.
Well, it's not, it's like right next door.
Yeah, and she's half native person and half sort of ordinary American, and she's an ecologist. And she was in charge with her husband, with her partner, rather, not her husband, of, you may know this, the Pacific Salmon Run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where they were part of the team, and she was leading part of the team that count them and also looking after Green Mountain. And she had two problems. And remember, this was 20 years ago. One was she was a woman. Two, she was incredibly good at her job. And three, she was part Native person. So, I mean, you know, it's probably, I hope it's better now, but at the time it was like, glass ceiling was down here around the nose, not over there. And she had lots of good ideas of how to make things work better. But of course, she'd been knocked about so much, she didn't have any confidence. Oh. So she came to me and we worked through, beginning with this Earth Sun exercise and carrying on through much more work and deeper work. And she was able to get them to hear her. And she ended up winning one of the top American prizes for ecology.
Audience, radio world, we're doing a touchdown. YouTube, you guys can see us noodling around.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
And I mean, this has happened. I had a stockbroker in London at the beginning of the pandemic. And that was very difficult. Now, it was a little weird for me working with a stockbroker because part of me sort of goes, bloody gamblers, you know. And the other part of me says, Ellen, calm down. Let's look at this bloke as a person.
And you're self-regulating. You're walking the talk, right?
Well, you have to. How else do you do it? He had to stop having the office in the city in London because you couldn't get to it. Had to learn completely new ways of working. He had to train all his team because people didn't do Zoom like we do then, and have team meetings on Zoom and work with clients on Zoom. And again, he was like, I'm not sure I know how to do this. And so, come on, do this. Now, okay, you're getting a problem, do this. Now, come straight back to me after your meeting and tell me how it worked. And of course, he found it worked. And he found that the team, he even got the team doing the basics of it. So there they were with, you know, some guy in Tokyo yelling in their ears about buying him umpteen billion shares or something. And it was just like, yeah, right. No, Mr. So-and-so.
And he was able to have a calm response, not a reaction, right?
And the whole of his firm changed because they no longer need to have a city office now. They know how to do it working from home.
Oh, fantastic. You know, there's so many things that, again, having the awareness and having the resilience. Of course, Soar said, you're talking about resilience today because I think that's a big message, right? And having a practice in place before shiitake hits the fan, right? You really have to have a whole mind, body, spirit conversation with yourself and a practice in place before that stuff happens. So you can regulate, so you can breathe in and you can ground. And come on, audience, you guys have heard me talk about this till I'm literally blue in the face. And I know there's kind of a funny connotation there because breath is free. It is what you do innately anyways. Our beautiful body is created to do that. Now, it gives you, the breath is that self-regulation, right? And our body, when we go into that fight or flight, we are, it's like, I got to run. Oh, I got to do that, you know, and it stops. So you have to remember to do that breath work. And I love what you're saying, Ellen, it's that grounding and from Mother Earth to Father Sun and providing that growth within yourself. Audience, we are going to take a quick commercial break. It's about that 8:30 mark. We are still going to be live on YouTube. If you would like to join us over there and see myself and Ellen, please do so. Just go to YouTube and type in 1150 AM KKNW and we will see you on video there. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, guys. Hi.
Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. How does 15 years in the radio industry, solid reputation, high integrity, conscious, mind, body, spirit, focus, organics, and fitness? I am looking for conscious collaborators, an aligned message. Let's get your product and service to the masses. Contact me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
I'm okay.
You're not okay.
It's normal to have diarrhea and stomach pains.
Sometimes, but not as often as you do.
I've got this under control.
No, you don't.
It's time to let that voice inside your head be heard. Urgent diarrhea and chronic stomach pain can be signs of Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation can help you learn more and even find a specialist. Don't keep your symptoms to yourself. Get help at spillyourguts.org.
Hey everyone, Sue Lundquist here with Clarity with Sue, and that's claritywithsue.com. I am talking to you about going from checked out to tapped in. Set your team up and apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find its purpose. I'm going to talk about morale, three phases of transformation, those little nicks in the wire, your beliefs, and really getting present so you have the resilience, so you can engage and you can have intentional living. This provides the purpose your team is desiring. Let's get you tapped in and on a unified front with appreciation and building an aligned team and its morale. Simply email me, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Talk radio for the heart and soul. Alternative Talk 1150.
All right. Welcome back, Radio World. Sue here, Clarity with Sue. You can get a copy of the show, of course, on the podcast world. All you got to do is find me on, well, you can just go to my website, tappedinandturnedon.com, Clarity with Sue. And you can find all that information and a copy of the radio broadcast that was live today on iTunes and SoundCloud. And of course, over on YouTube. Benny will make sure it's all put up and ready for you to go. Today we're talking to Ellen. We're talking about, well, we started the hour with talking about and kind of navigating what the shamanism, what that means, her journey through this. And at the top of the hour, I was talking about that awareness practice. And of course, Source brilliantly said you're talking about resilience. And there's a huge umbrella of what our conversation is about resilience and what that looks like and being able to bounce back and to be that example for those. We are leaning a bit more towards the business aspect of it. Business could be a barista, or you could be a CFO, a CEO. You could be that in your own home. So just have that context of what we're talking about, because whether you're a mom or a dad, or you are in the professional world, you are that CEO of your family. So providing the tips and the tools and the resilience that you can. And Ellen's providing great tools. We talked about breath work and grounding ourselves and what that looks like in that contrast. Because if we are talking about the business world, which would change generations and generations within that context, to just simply breathing and grounding yourself and to be able, the business world, if you're worried about or concerned about your bottom line, this is a really good conversation, because I know we all have a bottom line we're concerned about. So providing breath work, providing a grounding
solution or a process before the shiitake hits the fan is really important. And I want to have that conversation. I want to talk about magic and successfully vulnerable, what that all looks like and navigate. Yeah, because vulnerability is so important. That, yes. Massive vulnerability, massive honesty, massive forgiveness. I think it's all in there. Go ahead, Ellen. Welcome. Thank you.
Hello. Hello. Back again.
Back again.
Oh, vulnerability. So often it gets like, oh, I can't be vulnerable. I need to be strong. I've got to be here. I've got to make the decisions. I've got to, like you've got a stuck needle. And it's no good. When I was training as a psychotherapist, I had fantastic teachers. And they were very, what in the transpersonal psychotherapy that I do, it's so like the old witchy ways that I grew up with. And I found, oh my goodness, we're saying the same thing in different words. Okay.
Oh.
Now, one thing that really happened is, part of the training, you would have sessions every week where one of you offered up to be the client and the trainer would be the therapist. And you come along with a real problem, you make something up, but it was one you were willing to share. And so the therapist would work with the client and we would watch, because this is such a good way, because you're listening to how the trainer is talking, their tone of voice, their body language, how they're working, and you're watching the responses in the one of us who was the client. So anyway, Ian, the trainer, was there with a young man, I'll call him Fred for want of anything, and Fred had a problem, and they were going round and round and round, and nothing that Ian seemed to say seemed to be able to draw anything out of Fred. And so eventually Ian did what most psychological training tells you you never do. He sort of leaned back in the chair and he said, Fred, I'm really sorry. I don't know what to do. Vulnerable? Yeah, perhaps. But it opened the floodgates. Suddenly it opened the gates so that Fred could come out. He actually burst into tears. And he could come out with what was really there. And within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe at the most, he'd found his solution. Not Ian's solution. Ian had led him to find his solution. And that's what Ian, sitting back, and he actually did this with his arms. So it opened right up. Body language, and saying, I don't know, and being vulnerable. And that's what it did. And I've never forgotten, as you can tell. And if you can open up with somebody and be vulnerable, especially if they're in a tiz, because Fred was getting quite a tiz, it somehow does something to the whole thing. It calms the waves, it opens the landscape, it clears the clouds, whatever vision you want to have of it. And it can work. I've done it I work for the Ministry of Defence, as I said, as a systems person. So I've been leading a meeting, leading a team, and they'd all be banging at each other from each side. I want so-and-so and I want so-and-so. You can't have that, la, 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 all this kind of stuff. And it's like, hey, guys, let's have a coffee, right? Now, where do we really want to go in this? Because I don't know. You guys need to tell me where you want to go. And then we might get there. And it would just, everything would calm. All this fighting and this escalation.
Yeah, the ego, when the ego comes in. I got to do this. I got to do this. I'm better than this.
No, I've got this first. I had this first. You know.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And instead,
I didn't do the, I wanted to. I mean, who doesn't want to go, oh, for goodness sake, you're a load of bloody children. But of course I didn't. And because I didn't join in, which that would have been like joining in with the fight.
Right.
because I didn't, because I just said, whew. Everybody else felt it was okay to do that because the energy comes off you. You know this, Sue.
Yes. You created that equilibrium, you held space. You opened
and
created that example within the vulnerability context that we're talking about. This happens to be in a corporate meeting, which is super important.
Yeah.
The domino effect and to, as you are as a leader, providing that example for people and overcoming your own fear of vulnerability, overcoming your own fear of looking different or doing something different.
Yeah.
Knowing that it works, right? Yeah. It's crossing that bridge. You know it works. I mean, breathing works, being grounded. It works.
Yeah.
And to be go ahead, Ellen.
I was thinking, because you were mentioning earlier, you know, whether we talk about business or home or whatever. And I was thinking, well, pretty nearly all of us in business have a family. And then
what it looks like, yeah.
And you're around the dinner table and your eldest son wants the car and your daughter wants to go out doing whatever she's doing and your youngest son wants to go play football and your wife needs to go shopping and or your husband needs to go shopping more likely. And so you've got this same boardroom rubbish going around in there. Yeah. Everybody's fighting for their place. And it can work just as well. Hey, guys. Whoa, let's slow down. You know, what's for pudding, Mum? Let's get this going, kind of thing. And it just brings the energy down so that people can then find a way where, you know, Dad needs to go shopping so he can take the youngest boy off to do his football. And then Dad can be dropped at the shopping and his eldest son can take the car on to go and meet his friend and Dad will get a lift back with so-and-so. Which nobody had thought of while everybody was arguing because there was so much blah, blah, blah going on.
Yep, I get it. And if we can remind the audience and those that are listening now or later, you've got to have that awareness, you know, how, and the audience knows this about it. First and foremost, in everything that I teach, awareness has got to be number one. Yes. Like, massive awareness, and it'll scare you. It'll put you in a fear state. It'll make you sad. It'll bring up shame. It'll bring up the whole ball of emotions. You got to do it anyways. And when those come in, let them go. Just know that they're coming in, and then having that awareness, but also having a practice like you're talking about, Ellen, whether, you know, in home or in business, all of it's important. Yeah. You know, you do it at home, you're going to do it in business. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it should be. And changing the evolution. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's as you said, you know, you're CEO in charge of the house, you know, your mom, you know, you've got to sort all the bills, you've got hands on all the threads, pulling them all together. Yes, you can do that. Yes, there's against that. So, you know, and you are doing that. And you're also letting them learn how to. And, you know, letting your partner do whatever he or she needs to do. But it's all like weaving together instead of banging on each other.
How do you do this? You know, it's coming up for me. So the audience is asking. People, they're like, well, wait a minute. I don't feel safe. I don't feel safe in my relationship at home. I don't feel safe in front of my children. I don't feel safe in front of my boss.
This is where we go back to, for instance, my lovely lady in Tacoma, my ecologist lady, who did not feel safe in her business, did not feel safe in various other situations. She did feel safe at home with her partner, but there were lots of unsafe situations. And so it's more than just the little exercise that I've told you today, but what I teach takes you further in so that you can learn to what we call stand in your own power.
Mm.
And that's partly that you don't buy into what anybody else says. And if somebody says, oh, Ellen, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. And you can just say, sorry, I'm not buying into that.
Yeah.
And you have the inner strength. Now, this comes from more of this work, and it includes breath works and all sorts of things like that, working with your body. And you have this strength that you can actually... No, And you can even get to the stage, if they keep on at you, of doing the classic phrase, which I have done to somebody this year, is, what part of no is it you don't understand?
Oh, what part of no you do not understand? Ah!
I mean, they did have to go a bit far.
Yes, it was so much like better with your accent, I have to say. Can I just borrow the accent? It sounds so much better coming from you.
Oh, it's me doing my posh Lady Muck thing.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, Audie, let me bring this all back. We've got a few more minutes, about 10 more minutes. I want to talk. We talked about vulnerability and providing a safe place. You have to overcome yourself. You have to take your power back. And the media and everybody, there's such a big conversation. Well, take your power back. Live your best life. It's take your power back. I'm like, well, what the heck does that even mean? Take your power back. When you're in fight or flight, when you're in victimhood, you don't have the context. You don't understand what that even means. Right, Ellen? Go ahead.
And you don't, the worst of it is you get all these people who are flinging these, what I call platitudes at you. And
remember
that is their script that they're trying to get you to live.
Yes.
They are yelling all the stuff at you, but they don't tell you how. They tell you what you should be doing, and then you don't do it. And they say, but if you don't know what I told you, and you sort of go, how?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
Well, this is where you need somebody who's done it. And that's the best training ever. Yeah, I like having my degrees and all that kind of thing. But I have been there, done that, got the T-shirt, licked the bloody stamps, excuse my French. when you can see that, hopefully you can see that in me, that, you know, I've been there. I've been down to the last tin of baked beans in the cupboard. And I don't know whether they're turning the electricity off.
Yep.
And many of us have been there. And I'm willing to share with people what that feels like, and I'm willing to share with them the old practices and the psychotherapy practices that I had that got me through those things. And so you need somebody. We all need a co-pilot.
Yes.
People sort of say, oh, are you a coach? Are you a psychotherapist? Are you this? And I'll often say, I'm a co-pilot.
I love that.
That's what I do, is I will co-pilot you through this, and it will be always your decisions, your choices. I'll say if I think, you know, actually I think we're heading for a cliff here, and then you can talk to me about it, and maybe I'll convince you and maybe I won't, but I'll still be at the top, and I'll probably have a rope and I can sling it down to you if you've jumped off anyway.
Love that. Okay, so I'm a big believer in psychotherapy. What's the difference between psychologist and psychotherapy, and then you combining the shamanism and the seeker within you?
Well, a psychologist is someone who has studied a lot of the theory of psychology.
Yeah.
And great stuff needs to be done.
Yep.
And a psychiatrist is someone who is medically competent and medically competent to know that and there are cases where we actually need to take drugs because things are so bad, we actually need to do this. They're the sort of person who knows when that is and what sort of things to give you. And they may do some talking as well. A psychotherapist talks. They called it, Jung called it years ago, the talking cure. And we have the skills of asking questions that lead you to your answer.
Right, and there, audience, did you hear that?
Yep.
It's about leading you to your answer.
Not, I don't want clones of me.
Yep.
I think the world and the universe is quite happy with one Ellen, and any more would be over the top. So, no, we don't go there. No, we don't go there. But I have the skills from the old ways, because the old ways of Britain, and I think of many nations, are about you being yourself. And I know you love this, Sue. And the psychotherapy, certainly the transpersonal, is about you being you. And you probably won't fit in. And there will be edges and spiky bits that, you know, I don't do that. I don't want to do that.
Those spiky bits, dagnabbit.
Absolutely. And some people sort of say, oh, well, you know, perhaps I need to be normal. Well, I had a lovely meme. I stuck it out on LinkedIn a few weeks ago. And did you know there are actually 8 billion and more different versions of normal on planet Earth at the moment?
8 billion. I say to the radio world, normal, air quotes, audience. Yeah,
normal, air quotes, definitely, definitely.
Come on. And
we all are, and we're all different, and we don't translate probably one word exactly the same as each other. Even with me and my partner.
It's an emotion. It's the same. No. I can say roses and you could have a completely different adverse effect when the other person's like elated and beautiful, right?
Yeah. That's absolutely it. And all of us are right.
Okay. You know what's coming up, Ellen, is triggers because of the rose. And this has been years of conversation. My ex, he would say to me, well, you're triggering me. And I'm like, yeah, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Actually, right. You're like, oh, right. And it doesn't because the trigger is within you, just it like is. The Rose analogy. Yeah. I have no idea. I'm going to communicate and talk the way I'm talking. If I am in reaction, you then have the choice to be the equilibrium, or you can react to, or we can both take a time out. It's that trigger. I know I kind of went down that rabbit hole, but let's have that conversation. When somebody does get triggered, how can we then stay in our power, Ellen, like you were talking about? Again, having that awareness and then having a process in place before the shiitake hits the fan, right? And you were talking about the breath work.
Yeah. Well, again, you are staying on this thread connected to Mother Earth and Father Sun. And it actually sort of expands around you so that you can feel your own space a bit. Yeah, you're doing it, Sue. You've got it. And so I say rose to Sue. And Sue goes, and I sort of go, hey, Sue, what happened there when I said rose? And I let you tell me. I don't come along and say, Sue, you seem to have a bad reaction there.
Right.
I mean, whoa, blame. Yeah. No, thank you. It's like, what happened?
Yeah. You're and having you a kind, calm, loving conversation. My co-pilot, which I love that. I'm so going to use that if that's okay. I absolutely
do that. It's not mine.
Yeah. But yes, go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, it's another principle of the old ways is you ask everything. You don't assume you know. You don't listen to the words and have your head translate them into what you already know.
Your own narrative.
Yeah. You ask the person. Now, I thought when you said that, it made me think of so-and-so. Is that what you were thinking of? And you can go, no, I was thinking of so-and-so and so-and-so. Or yes, actually, yeah, mine was.
Right.
So you go in by asking. You don't go in by making any assumptions or telling anybody anything.
You know what comes up for me in this, Ellen? And I've had these conversations because I ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
I'm curious. And I downloaded this. You'll love this. I think you will. It came to me and it's one of my tools, have the CCs in life, compassionate curiosity. And where I was going with this, Ellen, is I ask a lot of questions and I have, there's almost like a disclaimer where I say, hey, I'm just asking questions because I'm being curious and genuinely interested on who you are and what you're saying. And likewise for myself. And sometimes people are like, they're put off by that. They're like, you are asking so many questions, or they're insecure, or they have that, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Maybe you do.
They do. And I mean, I get it with people who are potential clients and we're on a discovery call or something. And then again, I'm asking the question. It's sort of like, say, you were on the discovery call with me. So like, Sue, I mean, am I phasing you by asking so many questions? What would you like me to do?
What if they say, I don't know?
Then you sort of say, well, should we explore it? Should we explore how it feels when I ask you loads of questions? I mean, and also then take it, because again, this is part of the work we do. So like, you know, do you feel that is something happening in your stomach or your chest, or do your shoulders tighten up, or, you know, is there anything like that? And, you know, there might not be, but I said, is there anything, you know, is there anything like that? And quite often there is. And then that sort of goes, oh. And if you really, I wouldn't do it on a discovery call. This is for actual work when we're working together, but it will take you into, can we go back in time? When do you have a time when you remember having to react like that because something happened? Can you remember what that was? And then you go back and you'll find the route that, I don't know, somebody's dog went for them, or the next door neighbor peered over the hedge and yelled at you. And that happened when you were four and you'd forgotten about it till now, but it was built in now.
Is it important, and we've got a short amount of time, about four more minutes, is it important to really go back and investigate and, air quotes, relive that scenario? Or can a person go back energetically, lean into it and let it go? Or is that the same thing? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, right? I do. The one that it's important to go back and remember, but don't go and relive it.
There Thank is you.
No need to relive it. That usually, there have been times when it
Disclaimer
has.
Disclaimer to the audience. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
There have been times when it does, but usually there is no need to relive it. There is a time to remember it. And you may find yourself, you know, say it's the neighbor yelling at you over the hedge when you fall, that you actually have to reclaim. This is like what shamans call a soul retrieval. There's that little girl has been hiding behind that hedge ever since. And I mean, we often do it like with a cushion and sort of like, well, you know, see how she feels about this. And I'm cuddling like a cushion for the radio. Yeah. And so how does she feel about this? And it will come out. The person knows, the person remembers and can speak it. And you can say, but that was then, you know, that was 20 years ago. Does she still need to be there now? Because it's 20 years on. And usually that is where the whole thing gets let go. Because they see it moved.
Yeah, the psychology, the refractory period. I know the refractory period is also with sexual orgasms and stuff like that, but specifically the refractory period in psychology is how long have you been holding on to that? Yeah. How long are you going? So audience, this is important. It's an awareness practice for you.
Yes, it is.
Leaning in, right? You have to have that radical awareness that says, okay, you know what? That little boy or that little girl has been holding on to shame, guilt, fear, and it doesn't serve me anymore. It's time to let it go. And Ellen will provide all of those tools for you, right?
I do. Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Love, we got 2 minutes. How can they get a hold of you?
Ellen Sentier, type it into Google.
Ellen Sentier, and I'm audience. This is how you spell it. It's one L, by the way. E-L-E-N, last name S-E-N-T-I-E. All of that information will be on YouTube and the links provided. Ellen, thank you so much. It has been an absolute blessing and a delight to have this conversation. I could talk about all of this forever. I mean, I do on the radio. I mean, I love it. It's providing real-time, real-life tools.
Yes.
And solutions, like you were talking about. Yeah, there is the problem, but we're not going to spin out in that. We're not going to get onto that bandwagon. We're going to provide a solution. If you need to vent, vent it off, and we're going to let go of it so you can get it out of your body. Now let's go to the solution.
Yep, absolutely. Solution.
And that's where Ellen will, and she will take you through that. The breath work, and in corporate America especially, and I know that that is a special little niche for you right now, and Blessings to you. Thank you so much for this. And thank you for today. Sweet dreams. I know in the UK it's a little bit later, right?
It is. It's the late afternoon here. And sweet dreams to all of you wherever you are.
Oh, thank you. All right, audience. We will see you next week. And until then, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.
Live how we want. Yeah. Fresh start. Light that spark and we take off. Yeah, we'll be flying. We're here, a brand new gear to show what we